You're listening to the Farmer's Guardian podcast.
Schmallenberg has been one of the issues that has been affecting sheep farmers during this lambing period. I'm Alex Black, and on this episode of the Farmer's Guardian podcast, we'll be talking to Wiltshire vet Mel McPherson. But first of all, I've got Farmer's Guardian's head of livestock, Katie Jones, with me. Katie, just tell us a little bit about what you've been hearing from farmers who've been affected.
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, I think anecdotally, we've been hearing of lots of Schmallenberg in lambing flocks. So some of the earlier lambing flocks have seen numerous cases, and it has been a real issue. And I guess it's been a bit of a double whammy this year as well, because we've also been hit by bad weather. So a lot of sheep farmers around the country have had to deal not only with the bad weather, but also an increase in cases in Schmallenberg. And I think it's fair to say as well that we're now starting to see it in cattle. So in some of the herds that are calving down now, again, anecdotally, we are hearing of reports of Schmallenberg in calves. And I think it's probably a real concern going forward as we head further into calving, in terms of, you know, when the animal was infected, we're now seeing it translate into calvings.
And blue tongue's been another talking point for the industry. Just give us a little bit of an update of where we are with blue tongue.
So at the end of last year, we saw a rise in cases. I think there was, you know, 80 odd cases at one point had been officially reported. There's been a bit of a lull over the last few months. We've been in a seasonally low vector period, so there's no kind of indications that there is an infected population of midges at the moment. But again, we are looking ahead to later in the year, and there's a general feeling that we could see more cases of blue tongue as we go on. And I think it's really important that if any farmers are seeing any cases, you know, of Schmallenberg or suspected Schmallenberg or suspected blue tongue, that then they really need to speak to the vet about it and get to the bottom of these cases.
Thanks, Katie. Let's hear from Mel.
Well, Mel, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you're really busy, so we much appreciate your time. But firstly, could you just give us a bit of background about yourself and also Avon Farm Vets?
Yes, no problem. My name is Mel McPherson. I've been a farm vet in Wiltshire for getting over 20 years. I've been at Avon Farm Vets in Chippenham since last summer. So I just hope that I could give some information on the current situations with Schmallenberg and blue tongue from my perspective currently.
And we're kind of anecdotally hearing that there are, you know, numerous cases of Schmallenberg in particular at the moment. You know, we get farmers telling us that they're lambing flocks and they're heavily affected by Schmallenberg. But what are you seeing on the ground in your area?
The incidence seems to be quite sporadic. We thankfully aren't seeing massive outbreaks on in flocks. It tends to be the odd animals. I believe this is to do with the sort of the immunity. So the understanding is that the Schmallenberg immunity in animal that's been previously affected lasts a number of years, if not lifelong. So that's probably why we're not seeing high levels, because these animals have actually been exposed to the virus before, and maybe the ones that are affected are the ones that either weren't around. Younger animals that weren't around at the last flare-up, or maybe they didn't amount to immune response quite sufficiently, or maybe they just weren't exposed to the virus for whatever reason. So I think that's why we're seeing it sporadically. I also think that's why we're getting these years of gaps between flare-ups, because when a certain proportion of the flock are, and herd, we're talking about cattle as well, when a certain proportion of the flock or herd are have antibodies, then it doesn't get to sort of spread through them in quite the same way. It keeps the lid on things. So I think that's why we're seeing it sporadically. I suspect the flocks and herds that are seeing large numbers are basically naive ones that haven't come across it before, either an area of the country that didn't see it previously, or younger animals that haven't seen it before. I suspect that's more likely to be the ones that are affected.
And is that why we're getting these like 4 or 5 year cycles? Because the last time we saw it was like 2016-17, and then it's kind of been out of the news a little bit.
Yeah,
is it that immunity
exactly.
that's
It does appear that more of the cases are in the west of the country this year. Previously, it was in the east. So again, that sort of shows that it's probably because there was a higher immunity in the east from the previous outbreak. And that's why it's sort of taken hold in the west, which didn't see as much of a problem last time. So that does seem to be that distribution's probably related to when they last came across it.
And are you seeing that there was more cases in sheep flocks, and now as, because it's to do with the gestation and when
Absolutely.
The midges bit them, if yeah. My understanding's right.
That's
so
exactly
now we're seeing
right.
more in cattle herds.
Yeah, I'm worried that we've still got the worst to come for cattle, in all honesty. So from the sheep point of view, we see it much more in the early lambing flocks. So the ones where the rams are going in August, September time, the susceptible period for sheep is when they're a month or two in lamb. So if the rams go in August, September, then their susceptibility is going to be October, November time. And it does appear we must have had midges around at that point because we are seeing affected lambs. With cattle, it's they've got a longer gestation, so their period of susceptibility is later on. And I think we're still going to, with cattle, it's 80 to 160 days. So you're sort of talking two and a half to 5 months. Those animals may not have given birth yet if they were affected in sort of October, well, autumn time last year. So I wonder whether we've still got the worst to come for cattle. Obviously, I hope not. But the worry is that we haven't seen the worst of it in cattle yet, because if the midges that were carrying the virus were only around at the end of the season last year, then we won't have seen any deformities yet. So that might, I'm keeping my fingers crossed it doesn't happen, but that's the worry.
And you mentioned deformities. Is that the main thing that farmers should be keeping an eye on, or
Absolutely.
Is there any other signs?
I would say that's the main one. First of all, if a lamb isn't coming out like they'd expect it to, if they've sort of got two legs and a head and it's still not coming, then don't just pull. Seriously consider whether it could be you've got a deformed lamb, and just pulling is going to do damage to the ewe. So that's probably the main thing to consider. But I would suggest that's the most common symptom we see. At the point the ewes are affected, they're likely to have had a period of fever, maybe off their food, but it might only last a few days at a time when they're probably not being very closely monitored, and it might not even be noticeable because they might lie down a little bit more for a couple of days, but then they'll mount an immune response and likely clear it. But in the meantime, if that fetus has got affected, then that's where the problems are seen further down the line.
So, and then if farmers are seeing deformities at birth in, you know, lambs or calves, and they suspect it could be Schmallenberg, what should they be doing?
Well, if they're not able to get the lamb out or the calf out because it's not coming, then the options are either a cesarean or unfortunately euthanizing the animal. The lambs aren't going to be unlikely to be viable. Even if they come out alive, or the calves, they're unlikely to be viable. So you've got to consider that in sort of the finances of whether to operate or not. If they want to get into a diagnosis, it is possible to take a blood sample from the dam, either the cow or the ewe, to look for antibodies. Now, the problem with looking for antibodies, it just tells us that animal's been exposed to it. So if the antibodies are positive, you know that the animal has come across Schmallenberg. It doesn't tell you for sure that that's why the deformity happened. I think if you have a positive Schmallenberg antibody on the dam and a deformed calf or lamb, then it's very suggestive, but actually you need the calf or lamb itself to get a definitive diagnosis. They look for the virus in the brain or the spinal cord and find a positive that way, and then you can say for sure that animal had it. Sometimes for calves, because they were infected with the virus that many more months before, the virus might not be there. So if they don't find the virus in the calves, they'll then look at the brain underneath a microscope and see if they have the classic changes for Schmallenberg virus. So that would require the body of the calf or lamb to go off to one of the laboratories that can test for that. So to be definitive, otherwise you're just saying that the dam had exposure to Schmallenberg at some point.
And I guess farmers will be saying, well, we think it's Schmallenberg, so we don't really need to bother tests. There's nothing we can do. But it is important that you know exactly what it is, because well, that, it could be something else potentially.
Well, that is the problem, isn't it? If you're only going to test for Schmallenberg when you send the fetus off rather than a full abortion inquiry, then yes, a positive probably isn't very useful because there is no vaccination. So it will tell you that, oh, that's what it was. Great, what can we do about it? Well, unfortunately, nothing, certainly for the animals that are pregnant now, the way it might, the way that we could possibly manage is to lamb the ewes later. Not all management systems are going to be able to do that. It's just suddenly switch to later lambing. But if you were to put the tups in with the ewes November, December time, then their risk period is going to be December, January, when you hope, although with milder winters, it's not a promise, but you hope there'd be no midges or less midges around. So you're decreasing the risk. But obviously that then means lambing in sort of April, May, which just might not be the right setup for a management system to better switch that. So maybe if we're at risk of Schmallenberg any year, we should be considering that anyway. It's not necessarily just for that one year. It could happen any year. And the problem is you don't know about it until you start getting deformed lambs, and by then it's too late. So,
and you mentioned vaccinations and also kind of control measures there. We touched on control measures first. Apart from later matings, is there anything else we can do, like insecticides? Are they likely to make a difference at all?
The insecticides would be helpful for just overall bringing the numbers of midges down. But the problem is the midges have to go on the animal to be killed. So by that point, they could already be spreading the virus. So yes, to keep overall numbers down, it could be helpful. It's also avoiding areas that midges might be. So, you know, wetter areas, areas with high organic content, you know, damp soils, that there's more likely to be midges, but it's only one part of it. It's not going to exclude them getting it. It might just help not sharing needles between animals, because it can be spread by a midge, but it can also be spread by sharing needles. So again, might help separate. Being careful where you're buying in from. You know, if you're buying in from an area that's had the problems, then obviously you're more likely to bring it onto the farm. And also it's really important with any parasite controls that you start it early in the season. Waiting until mid-season when there's loads of flies around, it's going to be very difficult to get the numbers down to a level that's going to make a difference. So starting vector control now, while the numbers are manageable, because every time an animal, a midge goes onto the animal, it takes a little bit of the medicine. If you've got thousands of midges, that's going to get used up quicker. Starting the treatment sooner rather than waiting until you've got a big problem before you start initiating those controls.
And then on to vaccination. I know in previous years there has been vaccines available, vaccines produced. I don't believe there's one for at the moment. Is this something that we need to have a vaccine for, do you think?
I think the problem is that because natural immunity is so long lasting, then once they've come across it once, then a vaccine is not going to be useful in those animals. Plus, if this disease is coming around on a 4 or 5 year cycle, we've got to question whether there's going to be a commercial interest. I'm not saying there won't be one, but you know, for a vaccine, it's only going to be used potentially every 4 or 5 years. And we don't always know when that's going to be. So by the time you know there's a problem, you haven't vaccinated yet. I think to vaccinate every single year for something that appears to only be cropping up every few years might be difficult to justify commercially. So it'd be nice if there was one. It'd be great if there was, because at the moment, all we're saying to farmers is, you know, sorry, we've got Schmallenberg, but not much we can do about it except try and control midges. It would be nice, of course, but I don't know whether there will be one.
And when there has been a vaccine, uptake's been pretty low, hasn't it, I believe?
Yeah, I think because by the time you know there's a problem, your season's gone. Late. I think that's the issue with that. I think the first year there was, but then when no one saw a problem for the next 3-4 years, they're like, what's the point in doing this? My neighbor didn't vaccinate and his animals are fine. Why am I wasting money on it? So I think that quite quickly, sort of the panic of the initial outbreak, sort of, you know, was it 12, 13 years ago? Yes, people did. And then quite quickly they were seeing that other people were getting away with not. And obviously it's an expense and time and all anything we put into an animal has potential risks. So I think it quite quickly fell by the wayside.
So do you think that Schmallenberg is just something that we're just going to have to live with and manage as yeah. well we can, and accept that in the years where there is a problem, there is an outbreak, for a better word, mm-hmm. we are just going to have to suck it up.
It's horrible to say that, isn't it?
Mm.
I think it's a disease we're still learning a lot about. I think more, we will get more information. It's never, you know, when we've only seen effectively three episodes of it in the last 13 years, obviously it makes it difficult to then build up a picture. But the more we learn about it, the more we're more likely to be able to find different ways to manage it. But at the moment, we have nothing.
I suppose for 2024, it's just been that double whammy as well, because the weather has been so awful for farmers. And then if they're then kind of hit with this really difficult lambing time or a calving season, and they're just seeing all these deformed calves, lambs coming out, and then they're also right. trying to contend with the weather, it just seems like this year has been worse than ever, perhaps.
I think we say that every year, don't we? There's always something, isn't there? But there's always something being thrown at the farmers, and it does feel like one thing after another, doesn't it? Most people get through it, and thankfully the ones I've seen have only been sporadic cases, and I feel for the farmers that have had larger numbers, but hopefully they can be rest assured that means their flock has a large amount of immunity and they shouldn't get the same issues in future years. Not guaranteed, but that would be the hope. So I'm going to be optimistic for them in that respect.
And you talk about, you know, farmers always kind of been faced with something. As well as Schmallenberg, we're also dealing with blue tongue.
Yeah.
At the end of last year, at the beginning of this year, there was quite a few confirmed cases. I think up to March was about 120 odd confirmed cases. We're now in a seasonally vector low period.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a possibility when the temperatures warm up that we will see more cases of blue tongue again?
Yeah, I do. I think we've got to be really vigilant, looking out for it. These vector transmitted diseases tend to hit sort of the east and the south and the east, sort of East Anglia and Kent first, because of the way the airflow moves across from the continent. So invariably they get first hit, and you know, and they pave the way for the rest of the country. So I feel a bit sorry for them, really. And there's been, like you say, 120 odd cases. Most, they've all been sort of Norfolk, Kent, and Suffolk. I think more recently Surrey. So it is creeping this way. And that, first of all, shows that there have been midges active throughout the winter, being so mild. And I think as the season gets warmer, I think that's only going to get more. The key signs to look out for cattle and sheep is lesions around the face, crusting lesions, redness in the mouth, around the feet as well, and potentially around the udder. I think the big thing to point out as well is that the signs can look a lot like foot and mouth. Both are notifiable diseases, but the implications for foot and mouth, I believe, are far greater. So it's really important that both these diseases are reported to the APHA. They're both notifiable diseases, so we have a legal obligation to report them and have them investigated. And much as I don't want farmers to have blue tongue, if you're going to have a choice between the two, blue tongue's probably preferable if we're going to go for optimism. So I think you'd be vigilant about any of these sort of conditions. It doesn't always present as blue tongue. It's often other symptoms first. So don't just be looking out for the tongue being blue. It's erosions around the face and the feet. So and they should be reported to your vet, who are then going to have an obligation to ring the ministry to get them to investigate it. In the meantime, the farm will have a temporary control zone put around it. But if disease isn't confirmed, then that will be lifted. And if disease is confirmed, then those zones become greater and the testing becomes more intense. And again, it's about vigilance. It's about knowing that you've to report it, but also not be buying animals from high risk areas. Good biosecurity between yourself and neighbouring livestock, or things we do to control other diseases. The difference is, because the midges are spreading it, they can already travel further distances. But, you know, moving an animal onto another farm that's come from a affected herd is more like to bring the midges with them. So you're increasing the risk of your farm getting affected.
And how quick is the rate of transmission then if a midge bit an infected animal and bit another animal? How quickly would you see that disease
I imagine it would be within a few days.
Right.
I don't know for sure, but I imagine it would be, it'd be within a few days you'd see those symptoms.
So potentially if the weather does warm up and midges get active again, there could be, you know, there could be a steady rise in cases.
They could, yeah. And like the Schmallenberg, there isn't a vaccine for this strain of blue tongue, the serotype. The serotype is number 3. There have been vaccines made for other serotypes, but not this one. And I don't believe there's any cross protection between them, but we currently don't have a vaccine. So maybe that will come, but right now we don't. So we're heading into the risky period without any sort of way of protecting the animals other than midge control.
And in terms of midge control, is that just the same as
exactly.
when you mentioned for Schmallenberg, keeping
exactly
away from midge areas, starting protection earlier?
Exactly. The similarity with disease is they both spread by midges. The difference is blue tongue is notifiable, but Schmallenberg isn't.
So is there anything else that farmers can be doing apart from that vigilance and keeping midges under control as best as they can, I guess?
I think if you do have cases, then being prepared, I mean, blue tongue you have to report anyway, but for Schmallenberg, getting investigated, because the more cases that we can have confirmed on post-mortem, so actual calves and lambs, the more we're going to be able to find out about this disease. A lot of the laboratories will do the Schmallenberg testing free of charge. You may or may not, depending what area you're in, be able to have the animal collected. You may need to take the animal into the centre, which obviously, depending how far away you are, might not be possible. But the more cases they have, the more they'll learn about the disease, the distribution, what symptoms, signs, all these things. So that would be probably the best advice I can give, and then midge control.
And is there any kind of lessons from elsewhere in Europe? Because I believe both diseases were seen elsewhere in Europe before they were seen in the UK. Is there anything that they're doing that we could do over
I'm not
here?
Aware what happens on the continent. I imagine it would be very similar, similar processes, but maybe the continent just an early warning sign for us. If we know it's there, if we know it's in Northern Europe, we can only expect it. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. So I think that's where they're useful, is just knowing what's going on there and being prepared that it won't be long before we get we get it. It's highly likely with the movement of the airstreams that we're going to be getting that.
So what would your advice be for farmers going into hopefully a bit better weather in terms of, disease control?
I think much as it's very difficult to control midges, just being aware of the diseases that they transmit. There's no evidence that we've actually got midges with the virus is circulating in the UK at the moment, but I still think that's an if and not a when. So keeping those numbers down best as possible, avoiding areas that's high midges, being careful where you're buying animals in from, and then just being aware of the diseases and notifying their vets if they're suspicious.
A huge thank you for Mel there for talking to us about these important topics going into the spring and summer.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Farmer's Guardian podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye for now.